This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
Before we get started with the show today, I'd like to thank one of our new sponsors, the OTCExchange.com. It's the first aggregated news service site. It provides you with all the info you need to make informed decisions on penny stocks. That's the OTCExchange.com. On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. Yes, it has been a long time if you've been following this four-part series, but today we're going to wrap it up. Last time this gentleman was on my show was July of this year, and I'm talking about no other than Seafair Exploration Gold Corp. And I say gold because they're looking for the gold. They think they found it, and we're going to get to that later on. But they trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol SFRX. With us today is the CEO and chairman of the company, going to bring us up to speed, Mr. Kyle Kennedy. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Everett, thank you. I'm glad to be back, as always.
You know, the last time that we did talk about it, and I remember it vividly, was back in July. Again, the COVID, the license problem with the state of Florida. So many hiccups along the way. None of your fault. It's just the bureaucracy that you guys have to go through. That being said, please give us an update of where we at, especially if you found any more multiple sites and where we at on that process.
Well, we may have found an additional site, which we already believe was there, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Yeah, but what I always like to do, ever, to start with any bad news that I may have, and fortunately, the bad news I've got is fairly minimal. We've got, you know, multiple boats, and one of our boats, the Good Fortune, the hull is split, and we're having to repair the hull, and we get, you know, little boat and maintenance problems from time to time, and but that's about the only negative that we've got out there right now, and that will be short-lived. We'll probably have it fixed later this week, so. But it's one of those things that causes downtime, and people wonder why things don't happen faster, and there's actually a lot of different reasons. And, you know, the question about, you know, our sites and finding stuff, we're sitting the best we've ever done. We've really got multiple sites that we're looking at that could all theoretically produce treasure. Right. One of them we call the Heartland Treasure Quest area. And that's in Area 1 that we were permitted for. And it either could be a separate wreck on its own. It could be a stern castle that broke off one of the wrecks we have.
Right.
It could be, you know, a part of one of the ships that's in our area. We haven't done enough exploration on it yet to figure that out. And, you know, last time that we did talk, we were waiting on some analysis. And I'll get into that in a minute, but at least with these sites right now, we are working several of them. We also have this area called the Hump Site, which is a hump in a electronic form on a computer screen. It's not a hump on the ground. It's not a rise in the ground. It's something electronically that we do, but it gives us an indication that there's some other kind of metal there. Other than just simply iron. And that's an area also in Area 1. And then we've got our Juneau Beach site, and we've been able to actually look into the Juneau Beach site now because we do not have the state, the BAR, the Bureau of Archaeological Research, slowing us down in that area. And so we've been able to move forward there, and we have found a huge ballast pile, and one of our archaeologists has over 40 years experience. He's Dr. Bob Berry. He got his PhD from Oxford University, and with all his experience, he told me that this is one of the largest ballast piles he's ever seen.
What is that? Explain that to my audience. What is that?
Yeah, the ballast pile is rocks that were stored in the bottom of these old sailing vessels, these old Spanish galleons and French ships and English ships, et cetera. To stay upright, they had to put a lot of weight in the very bottom of the ship. And they would typically put round river rocks in the bottom of these ships. And we have already found some of these rocks that were not your regular river rocks. Some of these rocks were serpentine jade. And so we're finding that, that they put these kind of rocks in the ballast pile. And it's huge. And to find serpentine jade is a just an extra plus. It wasn't something we were looking for, but it's something that's there. And we're just now getting into the analysis. And we're also wanting to get the Sea Searcher down on top of it because it's an unusual site with unusual difficulties. And I'll go into that also. But then we also have the ring site, which is up in Area 2, and that's the one we're fighting the state on. And we're still waiting on the state. And it's not the state of Florida. It's the BAR, the Bureau of Archaeological Research.
Gotcha.
But, oh, my gosh, they just continue to detain us. But nonetheless, we will continue to move forward there. And eventually our permits will allow us to move forward. But, well, then we also have our offshore sites that we're going after. And we got two offshore sites that are outside of 3 miles. So we're sitting on the most sites that we've ever had with a lot of potential, you know, to actually find treasure on each one of these target areas. So I'm pretty excited about that.
You know, last time you were on the show that I was going to say a little bit earlier, you know, we talked about the Sea Searcher. I've got a lot of new listeners to my show. Explain to them what that is and why you guys are so excited about that invention you guys came up with.
Yeah, you know, the biggest problem in the industry is in trying to locate treasure, there's never been equipment that could locate gold or silver. There's only been equipment that would locate iron. And if you literally had 1 4-inch nail sitting on top of 5 tons of gold, the only equipment out there would show you that nail, but wouldn't show you any of the gold or silver or anything else of value as far as that's concerned. So that's been the single biggest problem. And our scientists built a machine that's capable of seeing gold and silver and distinguishing metals underneath the sand and also seeing those metals in 3D imagery, again, under the sand. And that's never existed before. And so we got it working back in December of last year. And a capacitor went out. It caused a huge influx of power, a power surge, that created a Bunsen burner inside of our metal discriminator underwater. Short-lived fire, but it was enough to damage it severely. We had to rebuild it. We were waiting on a part that ultimately had to come from China. Right. We waited for months. And then finally they leveled with us and said, hey, it could be easily another 6 months before you get this part. So we completely rebuilt it without that part. We had to do the software. We had to utilize new hardware. And then once we completed that, then we had the task of having to recalibrate it. Mm-hmm. And when you recalibrate it, it's got artificial intelligence. And every time you pass over a metal, you say, that's this kind of metal. That's copper. That's tin. That's bronze. That's gold. That's silver.
Right.
And you recalibrate it, and then you
exactly.
put mixed metals together. You put iron and gold, iron and silver, and all these different combinations. And then what we also had to do was this thing emits in nanoseconds and reads in milliseconds. And so it puts out a tremendous amount of data. And so we had to buy these new heavy-duty processors called Jetson Xavier. And whereas you see a laptop that says it's got a quad-core, you know, processing, instead of having like 4, This processor has 512 cores and can keep up with the speed of the data that the Sea Searcher puts out. And so you got to program that. And we've programmed two of them, one of them to go on the boat, one of them to go in the lab to help us with the processing. And then we've also increased the pulse energy for duration and for greater discrepancy in reading between the metals. And so there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into the Sea Searcher. And the one of the sites that we first tried to put this thing in when we got it all back together this last couple of weeks was Juneau Beach. And this target area we got down there is in about 90 feet of water. And when we put the Sea Searcher in, there's a buoy that's attached to it by cable that's on the surface. And normally that buoy follows about 100 feet behind the Sea Searcher. And the Sea Searcher just pulls it through the water, and it's got a GPS antenna on it, and it tells us where we're at all times. Well, in Juneau Beach, there's three different currents in that 90 feet of water. There's the current on the surface,
right,
the current in the middle, and the current on bottom. And our Sea Searcher swims on bottom, about 3 feet off the bottom. And when we would launch it, it would swim out, the buoy would be about 100 feet behind it, and then in about 15 minutes' time, the buoy would be about 100 feet in front of it. And again, that has a GPS on it. So we had to then reprogram the thrusters, so that we took the thrusters from 60% power up to about 100% power. And now we're getting ready to put the Sea Searcher back down in Juneau Beach to scan that area, because we think we've got a huge wreck down in this 90 feet of water. We know we've got a huge ballast pile, and we're going to take the Sea Searcher over that and see what it shows us.
Kyle, I only got a minute left, and I want to get to my last question. We got to wrap things up here. Just real quick, where do you think your stock's going to go in a year to 2 years from now without a reverse split, and why?
Well, that's an interesting question. Just last week, one of our shareholders asked me if we could go to $10 a share without a reverse split. And I answered him, that I thought we could do that. And he asked why. And I pointed out to him that in many different publications, people have said that there's more treasure on the ocean floor than in all the vaults of all the
that.
World.
I heard that. That astonished me when I heard that statement. But you're not the only one. I didn't see the statement, but I heard that.
Yeah, well, it's been published multiple times from various sources. And, you know, now how true that is, I don't know. But I did have a colonel tell me that there was trillions of dollars on the ocean floor in treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but let's say there was $1 trillion. Well, if you took our stock and it just rounded up to 6 billion shares, to get to $10 a share would be $60 billion.
Right.
Okay,
right.
What would we need to get to $60 billion? Well, if we had $60 billion in treasure, that would clearly get us to $60 billion market capitalization. But if you look at the $60 billion and you go, boy, that's a big number. Well, when you look at that compared to $1 trillion, that's really only 6% of that $1 trillion.
Mm.
And so if you ask me, can we find 6% of the treasure that's out there? I think that we can with the proper equipment and the right amount of time. And so I think that's a very realistic number. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't forecast.
Okay? Right.
But he asked me, is that a possibility? And in my mind, the answer is yes, and that's why. So, you know, I'm not looking at us to be a 25-cent or dollar stock or something. I always look much higher.
My guest today has been Kyle Kennedy. He is the CEO and president and chairman of Seafarer Exploration Corp. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol SFRX. Kyle, I wish you nothing but the best. I hope you find the biggest treasure that's out there on the bottom of the ocean and call me up so I can go out there and take a picture with it. I've been following your company now for years and years and years, and believe me, I'm a big fan, and I wish you guys the best. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully you come back on in 60 or 70 days and give us an update.
Yes. Everett, thank you so much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.